According to Oscar De La Hoya, Eddie Hearn is not Dimitri Bivol's promoter. And the inference being the Joshua Buatsi Bivol fight, which Eddie Hearn has been talking about, won't be happening next. Again, this is what De La Hoya seems to be suggesting. So to quote the Golden Boy, he said, Eddie Hearn is not Bivol's promoter. I am working with Bivol's manager. That fight is going to be negotiated. It is going to be done. And by that fight, he's talking about Bivol versus Zerto Ramirez, who De La Hoya represents. He goes on to say, I'm excited that Zerto Ramirez finally gets his chance, the one that he's been waiting for, and he is more than ready to beat Bivol and gain revenge for Canelo and for Mexico. We should know very soon, as in whether the fight's going to happen, but Zerto versus Bivol is probably one of the most anticipated fights today, along with a few others, because Bivol beat Canelo easily, no problem. Now Zerto can avenge all his Mexican fans. All right, those are the words of Oscar De La Hoya. Now, as far as Eddie Hearn not being Bivol's promoter, as far as I'm aware, Bivol is co-promoted by Sergey Ryabinsky of World of Boxing, that's his Russian promoter, and Matchroom Eddie Hearn. So I don't think what De La Hoya is, at least as far as I'm aware, what De La Hoya is saying may not be accurate. But then again, it's possible that Bivol's co-promotional deal with Eddie Hearn has run out, and now he's just with World of Boxing. Who knows? But it's interesting for De La Hoya to say this. Now, obviously, De La Hoya's got to be in his bonnet about Eddie Hearn. He's upset about the fact Canelo left him and Canelo joined Hearn. He's probably upset about the fact that Eddie Hearn's business is doing better than his business, etc., etc. So he's been taking all kinds of shots at Hearn over the past few months. In fact, ever since they both hooked up with DAZN, truth be told, De La Hoya's been taking shots at Hearn, but it's been intensifying in recent months. So you can take what De La Hoya says with a pinch of salt if you wish, but I guess it's up to Eddie Hearn to clarify if he is Bivol's promoter. Now, World of Boxing, Ryabinsky, they're not putting their own shows on DAZN as far as I'm aware. Now, that could be because, I don't know, they don't have the money to put on shows themselves at the moment. Ryabinsky, as far as I'm aware, is a very wealthy guy. So I don't see why they wouldn't have any money to put shows on. Sometimes you have a situation where, like Chris Eubank Jr., for example, Eubank Jr. is not promoted by Ben Shalom, but yet he fights on Sky, right? With, I forget the name of the company that Sowlin works with. He fights on Sky. Has Eubank Jr. been on a Ben Shalom show? I'm not sure. But there are a number of promoters who have their fighters fight on other promoters' shows. So, for example, Lou DiBella. Many of Lou DiBella's fighters have been on Matchroom shows, even though those are DiBella fighters, they're not Matchroom fighters. You see what I'm saying? Is that the case with Dimitri Bivol? Hopefully somebody can interview Eddie Hearn and ask him to clarify the situation. But whatever the case may be, De La Hoya believes that Ramirez will be the one to face Dimitri Bivol next, not Joshua Buatsi. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments below. Do you think Ramirez has a better chance against Dimitri Bivol than Joshua Buatsi? Even though Ramirez hasn't really done much at light heavyweight, and his resume at 175 probably isn't any better than Buatsi's, he was at least a world champion in the weight division below and has more experience as a pro than Joshua Buatsi. He's also a southpaw. How will Dimitri Bivol cope against the southpaw? I'm sure he fought plenty in the amateurs, but this is the pros. It's over 12 rounds. So let me know what you guys think about Oscar De La Hoya's comments regarding Hearn not being Bivol's promoter. And let me know what you think about the chances that Ramirez has against Bivol versus Buatsi against Bivol. And at the end of the day, this is a WBA mandatory. So Bivol's going to have to fight Ramirez at some point. And the WBA have called the fight. They've ordered the fight. They have a certain amount of time to negotiate. So it's going to be up to Eddie Hearn, I would assume, to offer some type of step-aside deal to Zerto Ramirez. We'll see how that works out. Again, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. All right, we got Badu Jack fighting on the undercard of AJ Usyk 2. Now, there's a poster here for it. I've been on BoxRec and it hasn't listed it on BoxRec yet, but I would not be at all surprised if this does actually happen. Because if we look at Batty Jack's record here, he fought his last two fights in the UAE, right, the United Arab Emirates, in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, respectively. Now, Batty Jack is a Muslim, and so I'm sure he's familiar with that part of the world, having fought there a couple of times. I'm not sure, maybe he's got a property out there or how much time he spends out there. I'm not sure. But yeah, it makes sense him now fighting in Saudi Arabia on the AJ Usyk rematch undercard. Now, the person that they're talking about him fighting, again, this is according to, where are we at? Which actual website is this? I think it's TalkSport. Yeah, it is TalkSport. So according to TalkSport, he'll be fighting this guy, Richard Rivera. Now, he's got a bizarre nickname, Popeye the Sailor Man. You know, when I saw that nickname, I thought, surely this guy must be a puncher if he's calling himself Popeye the Sailor Man. But I had a quick look at a couple of his fights, and he didn't appear to be that much of a puncher. He appears to be more of a stick and move artist from the fights that I briefly looked at. And you can see him here with the cap on, Puerto Rican flag there, and his pipe, doing his Popeye the Sailor Man impression. Well, I hope he's had, I can't help it, people, but I hope he's had plenty of spinach for the Batty Jack fight, because this will be a huge step up in competition. Make sure you eat your spinach, because if you look at Ramirez's record, his opposition has been absolutely appalling. And bear in mind, this guy is 31 years of age. And I've said this many times before, particularly in America, if you're at this age, you know, 31, and you haven't fought anybody, then it probably means you're not very good. Because if you were any good, you would have attracted the attention of some of the bigger promoters out there by now. Evidently, Rivera hasn't done that. Okay, the fights I saw, they were on little shows, you know, little shows here. So actually, maybe that's not a little show. What is this? Star Boxing. What is Star Boxing? That's from February 3rd, 2021. That wasn't anything to do with Richard Schaefer, was it? Let me just double check. Oh, he is on little shows. Lou Durkin, Peter Wariner. And that was in a gymnasium. Yeah, so this is a guy who has been fighting in obscurity in the UK we would refer to as small hall shows. Matchmaker, Christy Martin. What is in, and Christy Martin, the female boxer. Wow. So yeah, this Rivera guy, an obscure fighter who really shouldn't be troubling Batty Jack. But although Batty Jack is, nearly 40 years of age at this point? Yeah, 38. And he fought earlier on this year. So he should be able to take care of this guy without too many issues. The dude's going to have to eat a whole heap of spinach to stand any type of chance. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below about Batty Jack versus Richard Rivera on the undercard of Anthony Joshua, Alexander Usyk 2. I know people will be hoping for some stronger fights than this, rather than just throwing some relatively big names on there. Let's see some good fights, whether they're big names or smaller names. Let's have some 50-50s. I'm sure people will be calling for that, but that isn't usually the case with real big fights where they've had to spend insane amounts of money on the main event. You normally get a weak undercard. I mean, you look at most Canelo shows, the undercard's weak. Even with Floyd Mayweather, certainly in the latter stages of his career, the undercards were often weak. Although Canelo fought on his undercards a few times in decent fights. And Anthony Joshua, some of his undercards have also been quite weak in recent years. Although the two Ruiz fights both had strong undercards, actually. Don't think the Pulev undercard was that great. Can't remember the Usyk, the first Usyk fight undercard. But yeah, the two Ruiz cards were really good, actually, from what I remember. Michael Hunter against Povetkin on one of them. And well, actually, that was probably the only good fight on there, wasn't it? The Povetkin Hunter fight. But the first card, the one in New York for AJ Ruiz 1, that was strong. I didn't think it would be that strong looking at it on paper, but it turned out to be a very exciting card. But with regards to matchroom fighters, it tended to be Dillian White who usually put on the stronger cards consistently than Anthony Joshua. I guess he liked to spread the money around a little bit and give the fans value, or maybe he felt like it was a wise business decision to motivate more people to actually purchase the pay-per-view rather than just having him against Rivas or him against Chisora. He felt like, okay, I need to put some other names on the undercard, some other crowd-pleasing fighters on the undercard in order to attract the fans. So anyway, let me know what you guys think in the comments below about all the points I've raised in this video. All right, some interesting quotes here from Andy Ruiz. He is looking to target the WBC heavyweight title, and he's hoping that it will become vacant with Tyson Fury, you know, apparently being retired. Because, of course, Andy Ruiz held all the other belts after he beat Anthony Joshua, so he feels like he needs to complete the set. So, to quote him here, he said, I think he needs, well, he's talking about AJ actually here, in regards to the Usyk rematch. He said, I think he needs a Mexican on his side, especially Robert. With all his fighters, he makes them aggressive and counterpunch. That's what Anthony Joshua needs to do. He needs to be aggressive. He's the bigger man, the stronger man, but Usyk is fearless. It's hard to win against someone who is fearless and has a lot of confidence. I think that's going to be one of the keys to winning the fight when you're the person that everyone is doubting. I think Usyk will be like having more motivation for his people and his country. He'll be thinking, there's no way I'm going to lose. I'm going to stay champion. I think Usyk has that mentality. Plus, he's a Christian and he believes in Jesus Christ. I low-key want him to win. Also, that's why I am fighting a lefty in Ortiz, so I can get prepared in case I have to fight Usyk. I have got to look ahead. Even that guy, the 6'9" heavyweight dude that Robert Garcia has, I feel like he's helping me. He's tall, even though I give him that really good work. He's helping me measure Tyson Fury for the future. Okay, so that's, I guess, a sparring partner that Andy Ruiz has. And there's one other quote that I'm looking for here from Ruiz. Yeah, here we go. He says, I'm on a mission. I want to get that green belt. That's the belt that I'm missing. So I don't know what's going to happen or whether Tyson Fury is going to vacate the belt. I don't know who is going to be the person to try to win that belt, but that's my mission now. After I get that title, I can retire. Andy Ruiz is what, in his early 30s? Maybe is it late 20s, early 30s, maybe 30, 31, something like that. And he's already got an eye on retirement. You know, that's an eyebrow raiser to me. And a bit disappointing to hear him say that. Would this guy really retire after capturing the WBC title? We know that he hasn't been the most motivated fighter in the world throughout most of his career because of the shape that he's in. But after hooking up with Eddie Reynoso and getting his weight down somewhat, although that video that I made a video about, you know, where Ruiz was doing some type of exercise on the floor and he looked extremely trim. Yeah, that was him catfishing again. Because I've seen other videos since where Ruiz doesn't look anywhere near that slim. So yeah, catfishing once again from Ruiz. He really is the master of catfishing in boxing. Nevertheless, he has lost some weight and he does appear to be more motivated and more dedicated under Reynoso. So to hear him say that, oh, I just need the WBC belt and I'll retire, maybe he was being facetious. Maybe he was joking. Maybe it was an off-the-cuff remark during the interview. I hope that's the case because there are lots of fights that I'd like to see Andy Ruiz in. I'd love to see him against Wilder. Love to see him against Usyk. Maybe even an AJ trilogy fight. And some of the upcoming guys, you know, the likes of Daniel Dubois, Joe Joyce, and so on. So it'd be, for me, disappointing if Andy Ruiz retired anytime soon, because I do think he has a lot to offer the division if he's dedicated and in as good a shape as he can be in. So let me know what you guys think in the comments below about all the points I've spoken about in this video. Apparently, Ben Shalom is looking to match Joseph Parker against Otto Wallin. This is a potential fight, according to Boxing Scene. So they quote Shalom here, who said, "We are still hopeful of the Dillon White rematch and the Joe Joyce fight for him, but we have had an offer for him to fight Otto Wallin. It is another thing we are considering. He would also like fights with Deontay Wilder and Andy Ruiz. He wants to fight anyone and everyone. But at the end of September or early October, he will be fighting. We are still hopeful of making the fights we identified at the start, and we think Joseph is going to perform very well on Sky. We think that one of these fights will be announced in the next couple of weeks." Well, yeah, those opponents would be good for Joseph Parker. The Dillon White rematch makes sense. The Joe Joyce fight would be good if they could get that back on, if Frank Warren will stop sulking. Andy Ruiz rematch, that would be interesting. Deontay Wilder, I'd love the Deontay Wilder fight. For me personally, that would be my first choice out of the names that Ben Shalom listed. I would like to see Deontay Wilder versus Joseph Parker. Now, Deontay Wilder has something, aside from the big right hand and, you know, the height and reach and all that. He has something which Joseph Parker hasn't really shown much of throughout his career, and that is ferocity. Joseph Parker's been lacking ferocity, particularly when he fights a top-level guy. And so, even though Parker is faster than Deontay Wilder, he's got better balance, he's just better coordinated and better technically all round, will Deontay Wilder's ferocity intimidate Joseph Parker? Will he be able to take Joseph Parker out? Will Joseph Parker be able to stand up to that ferocious, it's not just the punching power, but it's the will that Deontay Wilder has. Will Joseph Parker be able to stand up to that and get things done in the ring? I'd love to find out. The other fights are good also, but that one for me is the top of the list. Now, as far as Otto Wallin, that's a fight that they're looking at. If they can't get the other fights on, the Dillon White rematch, Joe Joyce, etc. And look, Wallin did well against Tyson Fury, but he's not exactly setting the heavyweight division alight. He also beat Dominic Brazil more recently, and then his last fight, I think he fought some nondescript opponent. Was that on an Eddie Hearn show? So, yeah, he's not setting the boxing world alight. He is a southpaw boxer. He's not really a puncher. I'm sure he does have some power there, but he's more of a boxer and a mover. And Joseph Parker is a mover himself, so I'm not sure how that fight would play out stylistically. Two movers. Would it just turn into a boxing match? Or would one of them take the initiative in the fight? Would Joseph Parker perhaps feel bold enough to actually take the fight to Otto Wallin? If you've got two timid guys in the ring, you know, guys who are relatively timid, sometimes one of them can become alpha in the ring. You know what I mean? And you don't always end up with a chess match when you've got two timid guys. So, yeah, let me know what you guys think in the comments below about Joseph Parker's options. Which do you think are the most realistic options? And which do you think are the most appealing? Let me know in the comment section below. The manager, in fact, I should really say handler, or even master of Deontay Wilder, Shelley Finkel, has completely dismissed the idea of his fighter facing Derek Chisora after Chisora called for the fight following his recent win over Kubrat Pulev. So to quote Shelley Finkel here, as we can see, he said, "Derek Chisora, he just edged a split decision over Kubrat Pulev. No way. Maybe the winner of Usyk and Joshua. I don't know what Fury's doing. Maybe if Joshua wins, it's a huge fight in the UK between those two. There's so many intangibles, so we're looking to see what happens in that fight. Goes on to say, I don't care what Fury says, and he's talking regarding Fury's claim that he's retired. He says, we're waiting to see what he really wants to do, because if he wants to fight the winner, then he's going to get it. But after that, where are the top guys? There's only four real top guys in the heavyweights right now. Usyk, Joshua, Fury, and Deontay. I'm looking at everything and we're going to be making our decision, but we're not there yet. We've gotten several calls. I don't know how real they are from outside of the US and the UK, and we're checking those out. Then once, if any of those are real, that will dictate another opponent. Okay, so those are the words of Shelley Finkel. Now, he's dismissing the Derek Chisora fight. Bear in mind, Deontay Wilder fought multiple people not as good as Derek Chisora during his reign as WBC World Heavyweight Champion. Deontay Wilder has been one of the most protected heavyweight champions I've seen in boxing during my lifetime. So for Shelley Finkel to come out and say something like this and dismiss Chisora because, well, he only just scraped by Kubrat Pulev is curious indeed. To me, this is a continuation, or at least an attempted continuation, of what Shelley Finkel was doing with Deontay Wilder during his title reign, which is being very careful with him. Now, obviously, he's talking about putting Wilder in there against Usyk or Joshua because that's a cash out. But they don't want to take any risks to jeopardize that cash out. So they want to get there as risk-free as possible. There's been talk of Deontay Wilder facing Robert Helenius. There's been talk of Deontay Wilder possibly facing Andy Ruiz, but none of that has come to anything so far. Shelley Finkel is acting like he just wants to leapfrog all that, leapfrog all the contenders and go straight into a title fight. I think that it is important that this is not allowed to happen. Because if Deontay Wilder wants to get a title shot again, he needs to earn it this time. He can't just be allowed to leapfrog everybody and not take tough fights, because who's to say if he manages to pick up a world title again that he won't do the exact same thing that he did last time? Now, it's not a nightmare scenario in my head for Deontay to become world champion again, as long as he earns it, as long as he's forced, I'm going to use that word, forced, to go through some tough opposition before he gets that title shot. And by tough opposition, I'm talking about, yeah, the likes of not only Derek Chisora, because that's not the toughest opposition out there, to be honest with you. And that's not a fight I'm calling for. I'm just reacting to what Shelley Finkel has said about it, okay? By tough opposition, what I'm talking about really is not so much the Derek Chisoras of the world, it's the Filip Hrgoviches of the world. It's the Joe Joyces of the world. Do you know what I mean? These are the kind of fighters that I want to see Deontay Wilder have to go through before getting a title shot again. And I want to say he's got to go through at least two of them in an ideal scenario in my head before getting a title shot. He has to earn it this time, because last time, holding that WBC belt hostage, fighting poor opposition other than Tyson Fury, and he only took the Tyson Fury fight, in Fury's opinion, and I agree with this particular opinion, because he thought Fury was done. That's what Fury feels about Wilder. That's what I feel about Wilder and his team. He took the Fury fight because he thought Fury was done. And then once that first fight happened, well, it was a draw on the scorecards. Deontay didn't get badly hurt, so his team saw an opportunity there. Well, this Fury guy can't really punch. Deontay went 12 rounds with him, dropped him twice. Yeah, we'll put him back in there with this guy. We can make some serious money here. We're going to make more money from this fight than we made from the Spilkers of the world and the Dominic Brazils of the world and Berman Stavern and Luis Ortiz and all this kind of stuff. So it made sense to them at the time to put Deontay back in with Fury. They didn't realize that Fury would completely change his style and come out and knock Deontay Wilder all over the ring in the rematch. They hadn't imagined that that could be possible. Most people hadn't imagined. that could be possible, to be fair. In any event, if you take the miscalculation that Wilder's team made with Fury out of the equation, where are the quality opponents that Deontay Wilder fought as WBC champion, what, for 5 years? He fought some guys who were okay, but nobody who was that great. Luis Ortiz, people bang on about him. Who's Luis Ortiz beat? Bryant Jennings about, what, 7, 8 years ago? And that was a good, what was it, 3, 4 years before he fought Wilder, maybe longer than that. Who's Luis Ortiz beat to have this reputation as this incredible fighter? So, yeah, Deontay, in my view, should not be permitted to just leapfrog all the contenders and get a title shot. Let's not allow that to happen. And of course, I'm pleading here to the boxing gods. I'm hoping that the promoters out there, the promoter of Usyk, the promoter of Joshua, they don't permit that to happen. But then again, money talks, right? And if they feel as though Deontay is going to bring significant interest to a fight and therefore significant money, then perhaps they'll completely disregard what people like me are saying and go ahead and fight Wilder anyway. So let me know what you guys. And look, I would like to see Deontay Wilder versus Usyk. I'd like to see Deontay Wilder versus AJ, for sure. I've got nothing against those fights. I want to see those fights. But what I don't want to see, as I've said already, is Deontay Wilder managing to get hold of a belt and then start milking the belt again. Or even if he doesn't win the belt, just be able to leapfrog over so many contenders who have been out here fighting quality opposition while Deontay's been doing nothing. You see what I'm saying? Let me know what you guys think in the comments below.